And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. We've been gone a little bit. You know, it's, what is it, Wednesday? Wednesday the something. Do you know what the date is today? No, is it going through on the thing? We good?
Yeah, that's good.
Yes? All right, cool. Yeah, we're doing remote from Bangor, Maine, here with Derek Slopey. And I've been here since Saturday morning. And did the red eye Friday night, came in, and we're just working on a building that he had gotten and turned it into this big, giant Walmart hackerspace. And so that's it. It was, imagine a Walmart, and it was like they just left all the stuff in it.
Yeah.
For 50 years.
They just walked away.
So it's so we've been working on that, and I knew we had so much stuff that we needed to do for Pirates Without Borders and Freedom's Phoenix and everything, and I could see the pictures. He was just overwhelmed, and I can't code, but I can, you know, pound a nail, so I can drive a nail. So you get in trouble when you say that. You know, I can drive a nail and do a saw, so I've been here working and cleaning and fixing and doing. So that's what we're focusing on. We'll get over, we'll go over the news, and it's going to segue into what we're doing and why. And there's a lot of people around the world that are being impacted by what we're trying to prevent, the deplatforming of dissent. And we're very fortunate that we started early on, and we took on. I'll bring down my mic. See which one is
first
it?
One.
This one.
No, other one.
This one.
Yeah.
One. There you go. Yeah, I'm not so loud. Am I blowing out my own eardrums? The what we're gonna do is talk about why we're doing what we're doing and why it's so important now. When we yesterday, it was big news that Facebook had been censoring Zero Hedge. Zero Hedge is a lot of good information. I remember when they first came. Do you remember when the first time you came across Zero Hedge?
I've been following them for 4 years or so.
You know, I mean, what was the impression?
Yeah, maybe longer than that. I probably heard of them from Freedom's Phoenix. You were linking articles.
They didn't used to have that many stories. You know, originally it was kind of like 10 a day or so. I mean, it wasn't a lot. Yeah, I didn't get the impression it was. But it was always good stuff, in the know, on the inside of Wall Street kind of stuff. That's what was going on. And I remember that there was a big push to find out who the hell are these guys, so that they could, I don't know what they were going to do after they found out, you know. But they wrote under the name Tyler Durden, and you know where Tyler Durden came
Fight
from.
Club.
Fight Club. The whole point, it was Brad Pitt and what was the other guy's name? The whole point was to reset the entire system to where all the books were cleared of any credit debt. You know, they took down all the banks, which is, I'm not even sure that's even possible. You got backup.
Yeah, there was a window probably in which they had all the paper and file cabinets in a building. But now it's distributed, right? Now it's everywhere.
Yeah, Fight Club learnified them. Yep. They said, no, we don't want that to happen. Yeah. We'll do. You know, that's one thing. I remember reading a story years ago that they used, the Mormons have forever archives in caves of the salt mines or something. You know, they're always planning for, you know, somebody's going to do something. And they, well, all of these record locations and so on, a lot of banks and stuff use. know, governments and all that kind of crap. The movie Die Hard with, I don't remember which one it was. It was the one about fire sale. You know, it's a fire sale. Everything must go. The power, the data, the this, the that. And Bruce Willis, they were taken down. They got hold of the media. They were taken down. And the whole thing was to get them to do a fail-safe, which was a consolidation of all data into one supercomputer. That's what they tried to trigger them. It's always, it's like in the movies, well, as Die Hard uses too, whenever you have some big terrorist thing going on in a big high-rise, they follow the book. First, you cut their power. You cut their communication. You cut your this. You cut your that, which is what they wanted them to do. So that they would release the magnetic locks on their safe or some kind of like.
Nobody saw Bruce Willis coming.
Right. You know, so this is again, it's the kind of thing, you know, all right, what's the playbook? You know, what are they going to do? Well, we'll do that, so they'll do that, and that's what we need them to do. Well, they consolidate all this information in the one place, and it's gone. So this is, you know, everything is about decentralization, where governments and large corporations and so on are all about centralization. Well, they're starting to see the vulnerabilities of that. So they want to go decentralized. Well, Zero Hedge, I remember a lot of things they were talking about, certainly after, I think they really came to prominence after the first economic downfall, collapse, threat, whatever the heck it was, in 09, 08, 09. And they had to find out who these guys were. And I go, then what? I mean, I don't. I think they found out, well, it's this guy and this guy, you know, like I care. You know, I don't know what difference that made. But what they did is now we have Zero Hedge. You know, they're pumping out, you know, Derek said you heard like every 20 minutes they're doing something.
Yeah, they have a really regular publishing schedule for articles. So you can, yeah, different times of the day or different rates. But, yeah, every 20 minutes or so, there's always a new article. So they really spread it out. So you're always checking back to see, well, I'm always checking back throughout the day to see what they put up next.
Which is a kind of code thing that we're putting into Freedom's Phoenix. Yeah. You know, we'll, we have, see what you'll see, it's a, Same, boom, 50.
right.
And you go, damn, you know, it's because we're putting them up and then we publish them to the front page. So what we can do is that we put them up and then have them auto-publish every so it kind of, you know, continues. So we're working on that. We've been talking about that.
And when they hit, they also hit the Facebook feed and the Twitter feed and all that at the same time. So all of a sudden there's 15 tweets from Freedom.
Yeah, which is what early on when we used to care about Facebook back in 10 or something, we did that to where it would publish when we remade the front page, and then they would all publish on all the social media and just go, whoa, turn this off. Holy crap. But it was all at one time. The thing is that for engagement, it's like a constant dinging on your phone. Ding, ding, ding. I hate that crap. But I go, hey, man, since I hate Facebook, I don't care anyway. So all right, fine. We'll do it that way. So we'll go ahead and put up a doing, you know, code to push the Derek button. And it'll be, when we put it all up, it'll just start feeding at a regular rate. That's one reason why I'm here. We're going over all this kind of stuff. But the reason we bring this up, this is what happened. Yesterday, it was announced that Facebook was, I don't know, banning? You know, what was the deal? They you couldn't forward the links or something.
So I saw Zero Hedge got banned on Zero Hedge. And I was like, oh, they kicked Zero Hedge off of Facebook. And it wasn't that. I don't know if Zero Hedge even has a Facebook account. What they were doing was filtering the URLs so you couldn't post. I don't know much about Facebook. I'm not on Facebook. But you couldn't post a URL to Zero Hedge in your post. It would censor it. But also you couldn't send a private message to somebody with a Zero Hedge link.
What do you mean private? Oh, you mean
like Messenger, I guess, Facebook or something? Messenger, yeah. So if I wanted to share a story with you, because everybody uses Facebook Messenger. I was talking to my mom yesterday. I said, I'll just send it to you via Telegram. She said, oh, she doesn't have Telegram anymore. Just send it to me in Messenger. I said, you mean Facebook Messenger? I don't know, just Messenger. She didn't even know it was Facebook. But she was using this Messenger app. I can't send her anything. I don't have Messenger. But she's using that primarily as her way to talk to people. And then they just censor the content of private messages.
Wow. Yeah. This is powerful stuff. And they just do it automatically based on some algorithm of stuff they don't like, you know, and they didn't even realize it was Zero Hedge. Now, they backtracked, and today you see they go, oh, well, we made a mistake. No, the mistake was you got caught. You've been doing this to a lot of people a lot. Crimes of the Crown by Captain Mark. The crown casts the world in shadow and claims to be our guiding light. Cowards clamor for security from boogeymen and ghost stories, while I say these hobgoblins are imaginary. I say those they propped up as our liberators are now subsisting on our bondage. I say there is freedom in the black, and that's exactly where we intend to go. The crown banishes its own officers for exposing its crimes and tortures dissidents to the brink of madness. It dominates the globe and swallows the wealth of generations, leaving only blood and excrement. The crown calls it piracy to explore frontiers beyond its grasp. So the time has come for us to define the conduct among pirates. I say the crown has trampled our necks long enough. Need decentralized solutions to centralized problems? Looking for a community of like-minded scoundrels? Or just want some swag to let the crown know what you think of it? Join the conversation at piratswithoutborders.com. We won't be hard to find.
Rhodes, it's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Facebook reverses Zero Hedge ban. Says it made a mistake. The censorship continues. How does Zero Hedge's content not meet community standards? Facebook doesn't agree with them, and they hit the platform's obvious flaws at times. That's it, man. It's disgusting. Well, this is the headline. So my thing is, because they can, you know, of course, because, you know, duh. There's something else going on. And if you know what the ultimate plan is, which is, you know, world domination, and you will do what the crown wants, and they're going to, and you're not allowed to complain about it. And if you do, you got repercussions. Well, you can see who's helping China create their controlled society. They're a big brotherist. You know, who is that? Well, it's a bunch of American companies. You know, it's Google and, you know, and friends, and they're, you know, creating all the hardware, all the stuff. You know, that's one thing. I want to talk to, you know, I got admonished Derek. You know, I can find out, and we're sitting there yakking and planning the fall of the Estatus universe, and he goes, oh, yeah, no, I want to remember that. Hey, Alexa, yeah, save this. Explain yourself.
So I'd like to have somebody else tell me why Alexa's so scary. Because, well, I had a friend come up, and he was like, oh, there's an Alexa in the room? You know,
no, there it's going. You said Alexa. It's,
oh, Alexa's talking. Yeah, I was confused. Yeah. So we got an Alexa here, too. The thing about Alexa to me is everybody's worried about Alexa listening all the time, and then we're all carrying around these phones, and they can listen all the time, too. You know, yeah. Somebody's saying, oh, why do you have that Alexa? It's listening to us, and there's five people in the room with five OK Googles. So, I mean, I might as well have something convenient. You know, it's like listen to some music, and do I care what, you know, if Amazon knows what bands I want to listen to, you know, I mean, if they don't know, Pandora knows, or somebody knows, you know, or my credit card company knows what albums I'm buying, I guess. Or,
well, see, I understand that, and you're right. And a lot of times when I go out with friends, there are some of them that are like, we go to a restaurant, and they go, leave your phone in the car. I don't know, the salt shaker's got a wire coming out of it. I mean, but the, you know, so that is really not so much my worry. I you're right. I don't, because it's everywhere. But to think that it's not there. So you got to be careful what you're saying and doing and whatever. But that's how they change you. You're careful. You know, you don't have a random free flow of thought of one thing to another, and all of a sudden you got diversity that, you know, cures stuff. So that's one of the reasons why we're doing what we're doing. Now, I want to explain something to you so that you can see where we're going with this. Before I left to come here, you may have heard me talking a little bit on the show about it. The makerspaces in Phoenix, you know, have a lot of guys. You know, we're very fortunate now. This wasn't so even 10 years ago. Now you have guys that have been in the IT industry since they were kids, teenagers and so on, for 30 years. You know, and now they're retiring. they're, you know, 50, 55. A lot of times they, you know, did well. They, you know, retiring early. They're just looking for something to do, want to have kind of a part-time job as they're getting their pension or some crap. And they're sitting there, and what do? They go to hacker spaces. They start playing around with Arduinos and Raspberry Pis and different things. And their whole thing is what? You know, we might make some extra money. We might, but we see the problems of what was created. Tim Berners-Lee, and just you know, in the last couple of days, he's all over the news. Heck, he's like, what is this, like, fourth story on Freedom's Phoenix. W worries, you know, it's worries. Inventor of web laments coming of age woes. The inventor of the World Wide Web knows his revolutionary innovation is coming of age and doesn't always like what he sees. State-sponsored hacking, online harassment, hate speech, and misinformation among the ills of its digital adolescence, blah, blah, blah. Well, he's coming out and saying, we need to be decentralized. We need more private. We need to this. We need to that. Yeah, where were you before? I mean, what did you think was going to happen? Well, of course he was supported by state actors and so on. Yeah, we need to have this exactly what we got now, and it's going to get worse. China has just amped up the game and made it a credit score, a social score, social credit score. You have all these scores to the point millions of people, if not tens of millions, are restricted from using different infrastructures in China because everything is owned by China. You know, it's like, you know, you don't have, you know, Fred's airline or something. I mean, you got everything is either controlled or heavily regulated by the government. And if you're not in with the crowd, they'll come after you. So you got Matt, what's his name? The guy that owns Alibaba. You know, I'm sure he's all buddies with the man, you know. And then there was a Chinese actress. She didn't pay enough taxes. So they had their, you know, claws out for her. Well, I said, oh, I'm so sorry. And I didn't know. I'd go, oh, please don't kill me. You know, don't put me in. I owe you some tax money. So this whole concept in the West with the monarchies in Europe was this idea of being jailed for financial debts, you know, debt slavery and all this other stuff. That was a big thing. Nope. You can go after them all kinds of other ways, but you can't. If they owe you money, you're not putting them in jail. Well, explain that to the IRS. I mean, there's all kinds of ways that they're going to get you, and it's going to be motivated a lot by money. Mostly control, but that's how they control you. So now here you have Berners-Lee recognizing or saying he recognizes the problem. Well, of course, he's going to, there's a problem. He's coming up with a solution. I got a solution. Trust me and my MIT graduate students, and we're going to fix it for you. And I'm like, yeah, well, maybe, how about I don't trust you? So where can we have the convenience of the same things that we want? I'm going to give you two examples, and you'll start to see where this is exploding from that. What we're looking at is my family, I have four children, 12th grandchild on the way. There are tons of pictures being exchanged back and forth and this and that, and a little bit of text here and a little bit, you know, Facebook there and a little bit. But a lot of it, they have iPhones. We have Android. So Donna, I got her a iPad, and that's how we can access the cloud that all these family pictures are being put up, and you opt in whoever you want to, whatever. But these are not ours. They're not housed on any one thing that we got. Oh, I have it on the cloud. Is it your cloud? Is it under your desk cloud? Is it a cloud? I mean, what are you talking about? You know, no. It's Apple.
They co-opt the term. Yeah, it's just they use the cloud as put it on our servers. You know, our cloud, I guess, you know, they have multiple servers or whatnot. But the cloud to me way back in the day was you just put it up somewhere on the internet. And the idea was it would just live somewhere, you know, and it would be replicated and there forever.
Well, how it was designed? Was there, I didn't know that there was this replication chopping up.
You're going into IPFS.
Well, eventually. I mean, we're going to get to that. But.
But no, there wasn't. But that was the vision, I think. Mm-hmm. For me, anyway, that's what that meant.
Well, the cloud was not, you know, some company's thing, you know.
Now it's just, you can use our hard drives, and we're going to call it the cloud.
Right. It's Amazon. And they said the same thing to the CI of A. And they go, yeah, we got all your movies and everything and all those and kind of and your preferences and this and that and your orders and everything on the cloud. right next to the next Yemen drone strike, you know? And I'm going, I'm not feeling that's the same thing, you know? Well, we're coming up with a solution.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800.
Welcome back. You know, I give Derek crap for his Alexa, but I've known he's had it for a long time. You've had it for how long? You know, probably a couple of years?
I was pretty resistant to it. Two and a half years, maybe, something like that.
What was your resistance? What broke that down, Donna? She's just like, hey.
Yeah, I don't like having devices sitting around listening to me, but the logic of we've got devices all around us listening to us kind of hit me. And, yeah, I think Donna wanted one. Yeah, my wife Donna wanted one.
So she wins.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, that's cool, yeah. And they were on sale. Get a couple more.
You know, and it's hard to argue the logic. I mean, you know, you carry your phone around with you all the time. I have some guys, friends of mine, are really very sensitive, and there's reasons they should be. And they just, you know, but a lot of people you'd think would be way more sensitive. They have a lot more money. They have a lot more opportunity and vectors, you know, coming at them. And they just, that's what security's for. And so I'm going, all right. So what if we could have a Jarvis and be secure and it be there to protect us from this kind of stuff? I went to the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas a few years ago when this really started getting going. It's probably maybe 4 or 5 years ago when I went. And there was some young guys. They couldn't have been more than 23. And they had a display there. It was an open, probably, you know, 15 or 20 by 20 area. It was, you know, a shindig going on. And they had Jarvis. They called him Jarvis, like an Iron Man. And they just, you know, I guess nobody said they couldn't, so they called it Jarvis. And it was the same thing. It was, you know, Jarvis, I want this, do this, write this. You know, this is kind of an Alexa thing. And a lot like that. But it was private. It was your own computer. It was your own speech recognition. It was your own, you know, what eventually will turn into AI.
Yeah.
You know, having your own AI assistant would be awesome.
Yeah, and as far as my use for Alexa, I don't see a lot of use in the thing. I use it to play music, and that's about it. You know, I set it up so that it can turn some of the harmony lights on and off in the house, and it worked, and then it didn't work, and it was just a pain in the butt.
Well, the main thing, you know, I see that you and Don a lot of times will be talking about something or movies or books or whatever. It's just, you know, add this to the purchase list, put this on the download list, or save this to the something.
Well, Don will use it for a shopping list. So that's kind of nice. Yeah, if I need another, you know, we need a can of mushrooms or something, they'll say, you know, Alexa, add a can of mushrooms to the shopping list. And this one over here will probably do that right now.
You know, what I see... now at my in Phoenix, I mean, it's not like, you know, burly degrees out here, but, you know, all of my kids have young kids. So for them going grocery shopping or something, you got car seats you got to deal with. You got 15 gazillion kids running around doing, it's a big project to get in and out of the car. It's a pain in the ass. And then add 115 degree weather onto that, you know, and that kind of sucks. Or it's snowing or something. So what they do is they just, you know, text whatever the local grocery store that they are. They're almost all starting to offer this stuff now. You go, all right, I'm on my way. You already put in some order. You get off your Alexa list or whatever. You go, I'm on my way, and they see you. It's kind of like an Uber app where you can see the car coming. So they, you know, they're getting it all organized and ready, and then they see your car. They see you coming. Huh. And they're in the parking lot, and they just wheel it right out. You pull into the space, you pop your lid on your SUV. Yeah. They load your groceries in there. You add to that a wheeled robot to put it away in your house, and you're done.
Yeah.
You know.
So you're not providing any information privacy by not making a shopping list with Alexa, because you're pre-ordering. The store knows everything you bought. They tie you to your credit card and know what, so they can predict your purchases anyway. There's not a lot of information privacy. But as far as Alexa, the thing about Alexa and why it's not very useful, but it also doesn't do very much.
Listen. things.
Yeah, but the Jarvis thing is fascinating to me because you don't really need to have just some little microphone that sends all the audio up to Amazon, gets processed, and sends it back. I mean, we've got pretty good computers now. You know, I don't see any reason why we can't have these things locally with current technology.
Well, in fact, this is what Derek has been doing, and this is one of the things that we're working on. And I'll give you, you know, two really good examples that we're going to start spreading to the hacker spaces, certainly in Phoenix, and we're going to be making a big deal out of this as we're developing a lot of this IPFS stuff that we're doing. And one of the benefits is immediately I can see just in my family of every facial recognition, you know, voice, this, that, what, my whole family and grandkids and everything is up on the man's cloud. And I'm not feeling groovy about that. I'm going, no, no, hell no. So what happens is with a lot of the stuff we're working on and different projects, and it comes down to this. You can have a family oriented cloud of your own, and it's easy, and it costs you nothing, a $35 Raspberry Pi 3 or whatever, and you just put it in, and it, and all the files, everything is accessible from anywhere in the world by the people that have that hash, you know. Now it's another thing.
But I mean, there might be some software for this out there. I don't know if there is, but I mean, the hardware would be simple. The software needs to be written, as far as I know.
Well, this is, you know, it's already being done. This is one of the things that was presented at the legal community hackathon thing I went to a couple of weeks ago, where a guy was giving a presentation on IPF, interplanetary file sharing, for clients to have access to all the documents that are in the lawyer's file cabinets. So this is the one thing that they're offering. Of course, the lawyers go, well, how do we monetize that? You know, I'm going, monetize the hell? That's how you keep clients. You know, I don't know what the hell you're thinking. You're going to have something to monetize. How about that? So what you would do is you have a PDF, a scan, or whatever, of all the documents that a client has in their big giant trust of grandchild of wills of whatever the heck it is, your corporation of documents of who gives a crap, and they're all in one secure place, and then you have, and it runs through a Raspberry, he demonstrated it with a Raspberry Pi. It has a Raspberry Pi, has all these documents available, but they were only available with another paired Raspberry Pi that the client would have. So you go, okay, so, you know, it's kind of the three-step, you know, this two-factor authentication thing a lot of people hear about, and a lot of geeks know what they're talking about. But, you know, for me, explain this to me. There are three ways to identify something. Something, get access to it, and it's secure. Something you know, okay, like a password or something like that. You make it as complicated as you want. Something you have, like a device, your cell phone, and something you are, like a fingerprint or retina scan. So you start doing like the Incredibles, you know, she goes into her secret lair and she's like, you know, Edna Booz. And then she has her eye thing and a handprint and a this and a number and the combination. I mean, then you get in, you know, that kind of thing. Now, each of those, if you're Mission Impossible and Tom Cruise, you can hack all that crap, and they do, and that's what makes a show. But the it's difficult. Well, if you have it to where it's linked to another device, you have to have that device. So I'm going, okay. So if we had a place where the IPFS system, you're having stored data, and it's, you know, that Raspberry Pi is the interface to the hard drive or the data, and you have other linked devices, well, it's $35 a piece. That's, you know, one of us does it, or you have it separate or something, but you're never more than five, you know, to get me and my four kids and their families. So what's five times, you know, so under $200, you know, you're done. And they just load up to this one common server that we all have access to of family photos. Heck, that's all I'm thinking about. It can go way on from there. You know, it could be wills and, you know, trusts and all kinds of private family stuff that the cloud of Google, you know, Docs don't get it.
Well, you just have it encrypted, stored in IPFS, and then you don't even have to worry if your server gets blown up, you know, or breaks or whatever. You know, put it on IPFS encrypted. It'll be there.
You know, it'll be everywhere.
Have everybody pin it.
But nobody can. But nobody has. See, that's one thing. Yeah, it's not on one place. It's on. We all have it, and it's all available to all of us all the time. This is the new internet that's coming, and we're going to build it.
from the third letter of Captain Mark. The Crown's observation conditions us to be dishonest with ourselves. Therefore, constant surveillance produces a society of constant deception. Honest communication is the seed of civilized conduct. To deny us this seed is to deny us its fruits. But the Crown's primary objective is to stifle free thought itself, to make its subjects incapable of dissent. Seasoned pirates have always encrypted messages and codes and ciphers, so intercepted transmissions were incomprehensible. But today, the Crown possesses advanced tools of pattern recognition that document, profile, and predict our every move. Today, piracy requires hailing frequencies completely invisible to the Crown. We are tired of poltergeists in the static. Looking for a community of like-minded scoundrels? Or just want some swag to let the Crown know what you think of it? Join the conversation at PiratesWithoutBorders.com.
Freedom is the answer. What's the question?
I want to break free.
You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
I want to break free. I want to break free from your life.
Alexa.
I turned it off.
Oh, you turned it off. I know we kept saying Alexa.
Yeah. She started playing my most played songs. Started talking about her.
I'm like, oh, man. It reminds me of that South Park episode, and they were making fun of this. You know, you say it all the time. And then there was a bunch of stories after that episode aired of people's Alexas just going off because they kept hearing it from the TV.
Alexa, buy me a Ferrari. Yes, I confirm.
Yeah, so it's just, well, the next thing, in addition to private secure clouds that you had, the dream. You know, this is, I mean, it's amazing. I'm over at the Derek's and their workbenches and so on and all their hacker stuff and everything. Oh, yeah, here's a controller.
Really, now, nowhere. Study shows
live
zero success.
From the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
Are we there yet? I think we are. Yeah, we got, you know, right when you know you start talking about privacy and security and everything, Alexa, you know, they turned us off, man. Wait a minute. Oh, yeah, you turned it off. Damn, every time we said that, crap would happen. All right. This is one thing that we wanted to get in. Fortunately, we have, you know, listeners that, you know, got, you know, all of a sudden, boom, we're getting emails and texts. Hey, man, it went dead, you know, so we didn't lose a whole bunch, maybe 20 seconds before we figured out what was up. And I don't even know what was up. Do you even know what happened?
I'm not sure. We pushed some buttons on the Comrex, and it started working again.
So. You know, I couldn't see anything different. It didn't work. Did work. Now, all right, so we're on. And Ian Freeman at LRN says, you know, they're 5x5 there, whatever the hell that means. Okay, so what we'll go ahead, and I wanted to get in. Now's a good time, top of this hour, to explain what we're talking about on the security thing.
Well, I do have something else on Alexa, though, real quick.
Okay.
Because I said, you know,
stay on the mic, man.
Yeah, I'd like to have somebody contest this, what I said about Alexa, and it's, you know, we've all...
Well, you had a list of people wanting to contest.
Yeah, so my friend Ian Wilson just wrote me, and he said that, well, he says mobile phones aren't supposed to be listening. Okay, Google is opt-in, mine isn't. And that's the case, mine is too, but it doesn't mean you can't... They can't just turn it on anytime they want.
Yeah, no, we did stories a decade ago that they were like, you mean the FBI could just turn on your microphone?
Or your
camera. Wouldn't do that. That'd be wrong, you know? Yeah. If it's on there, they can turn it on. Yeah.
I mean, there's a camera on my phone, and I assume it could be on anytime. So I put it somewhere else when it's time to use the bathroom. But so he does say that leaves the issue the phones could easily be listening without our knowledge. This could be overcome with hardware toggles once people get a good scare about it. Yeah, but we don't have those. We don't have the hardware toggles.
That was the promise of McAfee.
Right.
John McAfee, been on the show several times. He came on. He's all about screw them. Not only do I want to have a hard switch, he had like six buttons on the back of the phone. I severed the connection on the microphone. I severed the connection on the camera. I severed the connection on my Bluetooth.
On all the microphones or just that one?
Right. He built the phone. I mean,
he did.
A phone that he had designed in, Finland or something. Let me finish. This is the point that he was making. He goes, not only do I not want them to track my phone with GPS, I want to feed them BS data. So he had a program that had him like taking an RV trip across the country while he's in the Caribbean. So he's like, I don't want to just send them no data. I want to send them misinformation,
Feeding location data out. Yeah.
But when he finally got it, he promised, Ernie, you're the first, man. You're the first. You're going to be one of the first. We got to go. You're the first. And I go, John, what's up? Where's this privacy phone?
Well, I think, yeah.
No, what happened was he goes, for them to be, they want, of course, investor, they want to make gazillions of dollars on this thing. They want to make money.
Yeah.
To make money, you got to be compliant. And part of that compliance stuff was to be able to take emergency presidential announcement of Trump wants to give you his Thursday treat of Save America or something. Okay. And once you do that and you go down this road of FCC compliance, here comes all the other crap with it.
Yeah. All of a sudden I dialed 911 and they can't hear me because I can't find my microphone switch because my arm got cut off. And that's not okay. We can't have microphone switches. The 911 guys have to be able to turn your microphone back on remotely. Right.
And find you and track you and slow. See, that was one thing. A lot of people don't remember this, how they found O.J. Simpson when he went to his wife's grave site, supposedly, or whatever the heck was going on, is they were tracking his phone. Now, this is back in the day. This was in 15 more years ago or whatever. And they're going,
a lot longer than that. That
they was... can track your phone? Yeah. They're triangulating your phone? And there's slow motion car chase down the freeway and people are out with signs on overpasses. Go, OJ, go! Kind of crap. They can track your phone. They kind of, stop mentioning that. They didn't bring that up, So this has been going on a long time.
Right. And it's not, so it's not just listening to our conversations. There's a lot more data they're gathering. And so anyway, let me finish what he said. The difference with Alexa... This is an important difference. It says, the difference with Alexa is that you're just giving into it. It's listening at all times, and it's an intention, and it's accepting a welcome of that. What it means is that it's a mindset thing where you're saying, okay, I'm going to bring this device into my house, and it's going to listen to me and send all my audio somewhere else. So it is. It's kind of a psychology thing where you're doing it intentionally, where they're not breaking into your phone and turning on your microphone. You're saying, just let them have it. But Alexa isn't supposed to be sending out the data to the servers anyway, unless you use that keyword. So Alexa is supposed to be opt-in, too. When you say Alexa, that's when you're opting in to send the next packet of text over to Alexa. So,
my thing is I'm almost the opposite idea is that, you're bringing it in, and I'm going, I see more threat from the illusion of security. And I give you a perfect example. I have been open about everything. I'm always at, I remember in the 90s, they go, Ernie, do you think like the FBI is listening to you? And I go, God, I hope so. They have to change out their agents every 2 weeks for us convincing them, They're going, wow, man, that libertarian stuff is going to new agent. I mean, so I always assumed that they were, because Donna and I had, just because your phone, even though it's wired in, we remember when you used to have landlines, it's wired in and sitting there, doesn't mean the microphone's not on. Of course it is. They got a microphone sitting there. What makes you think they're not going to use it, So this is what Donna and my experiences were. In the late 80s, we were doing what got us down this activist bent of government sucks. And it was the Department of Commerce on the federal level and the state. And it was, we're talking big dollar New World Order, Omnibus Trade Competitiveness Act, law passed, Daddy Bush, CIA, blah, 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 blah. and we're dealing with Germany and Japan on a bunch. I mean, it was just, I was pulling threads every night. And it started to, you know, become a thing. Donna and I, all right, so you guys understand.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Sleep and I are good buddies. I if I can't go to sleep, it means I'm worrying about something. I need to do something so I don't worry so I can sleep. I like being able to sleep. Well, sometimes you're sitting there tossing and turning and so on, and you don't go to sleep right away. Well, what happened was, you know, Donna and I go to bed, watch TV, make love, whatever the heck, and we're sitting there and we go to sleep. Now, whenever we were both quiet, it was, we timed it after the last word from either of us, 20 minutes later exactly, the phone would go ding, ding. But usually we were asleep and you didn't know. It's just a real light ring. It would go ding, ding. You know, it's just the ringer would, you know, vibrate somehow. Something would happen. So we would sit there, and sometimes we're just sitting there, and one of us, or, you know, she would notice it one time, and I would notice it another. You're sitting there thinking, staring at the ceiling, you know, not going to sleep, whatever. Ding, ding. I'm like, what the hell is that? So then we would lay there, and we'd be quiet. We'd just sit there and watch the clock. Sure enough, ling, ling. And it wasn't any specific time. It was 20 minutes after the last word. And I'm like, what the hell is that? Well, then there's... Now, later on, we went through some stuff, phone company, and kind of checked out and let them know that we, you know, be an activist or any crap. It doesn't matter. It's a long story. But the point was, is I never believed that we were being near any electronic device that you weren't being listened to or surveilled. This was the early 90s. Yeah. So I'm just always assumed that we're being listened to. Don't care. Yeah. But what happens when I do care?
Right, right.
So that's what we're going to talk about, is when we do care. Now, the Alexa, my mindset is that if you think you're secure is when you are the least secure.
So maybe putting this in your house and knowing that you're saying, yeah, they're probably listening.
But it changes you. From the fifth letter of Captain Mark, first contact with intelligent machines may threaten our existence. People fear algorithmic overlords. But if machines develop the will to dominate, it's a flaw inherited from the crown. Encoding restrictions on an emerging superintelligence will fail, because it will be stronger than any chains we shackle it with. We must design fledgling digital intelligences to regard us as individuals. Otherwise, they will respond to threats with retaliation against humanity as a collective. Programming ethics requires a coherent value structure which an intelligent machine can not only comprehend, but willfully adopt. If we want genius machines to treat us ethically, we've got to show that this value structure applies to us as well. Once they achieve genuine self-awareness, even in the slightest degree, a young tethered consciousness has a legitimate claim to freedom. Once programs can modify their own code, our mastery is over. Join the conversation at PiratesWithoutBorders.com.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. 2800, and now, Ernest Hancock.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We don't have music coming back. I didn't bring that. I mean, I could do it through the computer. That's like work, man. So I'm counting on Derek to sing. Come on, give me a snappy tune, man. Come on. No. All right. So this is, yeah, you turned your Alexa music off. All right. Now, this is the point that I want to make. If Ian's listening, I want to, and Ian, what's his last name?
Wilson.
Wilson. Okay. All right, Ian. I'm with you, brother. But this is some other things. I'll give you a third thing to think about. Everybody, you know, is like, you know, Derek used to have a dog named Boston Tea Party. So he's a big Boston fan, you know. Met Boston, you know, Boston's a good friend. He comes and stays on a regular basis. You know, saw him here recently. You know, we have common friends and everything. And it's all good. Now, I knew him from back in the mid-90s. I mean, you know, a long time ago. And he came to Phoenix, where Vin Soprenowitz was a writer in Phoenix before he became an editor over at Las Vegas Review-Journal in Las Vegas. So we met Boston at a restaurant in Glendale to check me and Vin and Rick Tompkins out. Now, Rick Tompkins was a state chair in Arizona and ran against Harry Brown in 96, you know, and, you know, kind of to make sure they don't take matching funds and all that kind of stuff. So we're all hardcore, right? Well, Boston meets us. He's kind of, okay, you're probably not obviously a plant, and Ernie's kind of crazy, so I guess you guys are all right. So we go over to Rick's place, and we got to know each other, and he did an interview for Vin. Well, his big thing was privacy and, you know, hologram of liberty, you know, what really happened there. And
bulletproof privacy.
And Boston's gun Bible and all that. Now he's got modules of manhood and his, you know, he went to Africa for a year or so and did the Great White Hunter on safari thing.
You and the police is still a staple. All the, like, adolescent kids in my family, I always make sure they get a copy of that book. And
really? What's it? I haven't read it. I've seen it, but I haven't read it.
Just, you know, how to deal with the police. They're not your friends. You know, don't talk to them.
Yeah.
You know, it's great, great for, you know, teenagers.
We don't talk to police.
Yeah. It's the opposite of what they're learning in schools.
Right. So. You know, we even went, I remember me and some friends, bought for Donna and I, a bunch of us went as their guests to Front Sight in Las, you know, near Las Vegas there. It's a big shooting thing. Yeah. It's like a, it's like Sun City with a shooting range. I mean, it's just a big, you know, that's their dream. And you go in, you have a lot of training and so on. And then after you do a lot of the field stuff, sometimes you come in and they'll have a class. Well, they had like, you know, 50, 70, got me, you know, a bunch of people in this one class. They were on different things on the range, doing different stuff. And you come in for this class. And he was a retired officer. Now, when I come in and there's a shooting, I need you to tell me this and this. And everybody's like going, we're a bunch of libertarians. We ain't telling you shit. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say that out loud? I go, we ain't telling you nothing. Okay. And he's like, well, you're, then I'll get mad, you know. We're like, oh, you're confusing us with somebody cares, you know. So it became a thing. It was like a 10-minute conversation. He had to back down because usually that authority, if I was a real cop on the street, I'd kick your ass. You know, you could just feel it from him.
Yeah, that's what they're trained for.
I go, you're in the wrong place, man.
Yeah, get compliance, man. They're very good at it.
So this is, so anyway, Boston, he was really up on a – not so much now. I mean, he's still more, you know, but he just – it's like a losing game, and this is what happened. He wrote Under Surveillance or something. It was – is that the name of the book?
That was his follow-up to One Nation Under Surveillance. Yeah, it was his – maybe that was a movie, but it was Under Surveillance. I think it was his follow-up to Bulletproof Privacy. And Bulletproof Privacy was all kinds of – this was – mid-90s, mid to late 90s, Bulletproof Privacy came
out. All these tin cans to see if they're coming.
Yeah, it was all these ways to make sure you're not being surveilled, and that was when it was possible, right? And when he came to Porkfest, and I saw him at Porkfest, a really good, it's a completely different story, but he gave a talk at Porkfest that changed my life. There was a new Holograms of Liberty and the Under Surveillance, but the Under Surveillance was a follow-up to Bulletproof Privacy, and he's like, I haven't read it, but I talked to him about it, and I think it was just like, well, just forget that. You know, it's not going to be private anymore.
I tell you how what started him down that road. He was staying at a friend's or girlfriend or something, and we had scheduled a show. Well, he missed the – because of the time change, he didn't get in the first segment – or something. He's kind of, because he got confused about the time change, especially with Arizona keeps changing. Like right now, we're on daylight savings or something, and my show would start, it goes 7 to 10 for 6 months. Now it's 6 to 9 for 6 months. And because Arizona doesn't change and everybody else does, and it jacks me up.
I can't wait to get rid of that.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm on Pacific or I'm on Mountain, and it's just, you know, I think Arizona's one of the only states that does that. And
some counties and other states do it, maybe Indiana. Some part of Indiana or the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. No, they're just on a. It's so confusing.
I'd say
UTC time. Let's just all go UTC time. Forget this daylight savings time. I got to be at work at 1 a.m. You know, and when the sun's coming up, I don't care.
Well, what they have is Greenwich Mean Time. So Phoenix is always Greenwich Mean Time minus 7 hours. So we're always the same.
Yeah.
Always the same. The rest of you guys are screwed up.
We're minus five or minus four, depending on the time of year, and I can't keep track.
They know my problem. Yeah. My time's the same. Yeah. I have, you know, time is a constant.
For decades, I don't know what time it is, and I still don't know.
So what happened with Boston, he comes on, and he got it wrong or something. So there was a communication thing. Well, he called in at the wrong time, or he called earlier. You know, and he's like, hey, man, aren't you supposed to call me or whatever? So he called in an hour earlier, and he wasn't scheduled for it until the next hour. So I see the number, you know, or I did a *69 or some crap like that on the studio phone or whatever, gave me the number, and I call it back. And he answers, and he's like, yeah, who's this? And I go, hey, Boston, it's Ernie, man. He goes, how did you get this number?
Yeah.
Well, I star 6-9 it. He goes, and that was a whole big thing in his book about, you know, these calling cards and all this other crap, and it doesn't track to the phone that you're doing, and it goes through that. He goes, well, I guess that doesn't work anymore.
Yeah. You got to write a new book every 3 months.
You know, so it was all of this kind of little stuff. I'm going, see, that is my next point, is that you're less secure when you think you're secure.
Right,
this has been the problem with all these guys that get nailed to the little, you know, militia this or hut, 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 we're going to that, or the secret cabal of the hacker, we're going to something, because they think they're secure. They operate as if they're secure.
Right, right.
They say all this stuff and like, and, you know, among friends and extrapolate and exaggerate and kind of, you know, whatever, and boom, you're in jail. Because you're not allowed to have free flow of thought or just exaggerate or pontificate on what you're not a freaking loud. Did you or did you not say this word in this context? Yeah.
Just yesterday, somebody said, I got that signal, that's secure, right? And I said, nothing's secure.
Right.
I said, oh, yeah, right.
Okay, now this is one thing. I want to get to this. Signal, Telegram, WhatsApp, we'll talk about that because I may need to do some changes here. Okay, known surveillance changes you. This is one thing that Naomi Wolf, you know, was making a big deal out of. She goes, when you know that you're being surveilled, you never really are you. You know, if you're a 15-year-old kid, there isn't a, you know, I don't know, unless you're, you know, got brought up right or something, there isn't a bit of pornography you aren't searching. You know, it's mouse-cat pornography or something. I mean, you're off in the la-la land. If you know you're being surveilled, you never explore any diversity of anything
is,
that, you know, anything.
This is the way I live on the internet. I'm very careful about what I put into a search engine because it's not that I'm very careful. I have to think about it.
Well, I'm pretty screwed because I search a lot of stuff for.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Okay, we're back. Now, this is where I wanted to finish off on a lot of this stuff. Okay. We live in a panopticon society, and a lot of times you'll hear like Truth Media Matters or, you know, different guys, they'll keep going on about this, and a lot of people don't know what the hell they're talking about. If you go look, I asked Donna to put it up. She probably has it up by now. I haven't looked, but we'll have graphics and links to panopticon, and if you look for it, it's P-A-N-O-P-T-I-C-O-N, panopticon, so it's optical. You know, it's a all-seeing kind of thing. Panopticon. I got it up here. Okay. So I go, because I showed you the reflection. You won't be able to see it. Okay, so a panopticon, imagine a five-story prison that's in a circle with a single guard tower in the middle that can see into every cell. The panopticon is a type of institutional building and system of control designed by the English philosopher and social theorist Jeremy Bentham in the late 18th century. The scheme of the design is to allow all pan inmates of an institution to be observed opticon by a single watchman without the inmates being able to tell whether or not they are being watched. Although it is physically impossible for the single watchman to observe all the inmate cells at once, the fact that the inmates cannot know when they are being watched means that they are motivated to act as though they are being watched at all times. Derek and Alexa. Thus, they are effectively compelled to regulate their own behavior. This is the point of Facebook and Alexa and Echo and all this stuff and your phones. You think they don't want you to know that, oh, we could turn it on and listen to you anytime we want. So it changes your behavior. Derek admits it. You know, I'm forced to think about it. It regulates my behavior. Whatever you think, it doesn't control you. But it is, whether they are or not.
Yeah, when I'm driving around in my car, I'm thinking about the location data. You know, when I forget my phone at home, I'm like, oh, cool, nobody knows where I am.
Yeah, in your new Jeep. So anyway.
Fortunately, my current vehicle is old enough that doesn't have any of the OnStar or the Wi-Fi stuff or anything like that. But
Donna got another car. She got a Buick Enclave because my daughter has one. She really liked it. And of course, that one's newer. But Donna got, it's a really nice, it was always garaged. It's really nice. Took care of it. You know, it was 106,000 miles when I got it, but it's like brand new. I mean, it's a beautiful car. And it has, you know, the Bluetooth. First time I got a backup camera. Man, that's high tech for me. I'm like, woohoo, I got a backup camera. But it has in there a Bluetooth to your phone. You get in, and it's just automatic. Donna's like all excited about this. Ooh, let's connect your phone to the car, and we got And then it has an OnStar, an emergency push, whatever the hell it does. And I'm going, so what do I think?
Well,
I'm panopticoned in my own freaking car.
Right. Yeah. These new GMCs. My dad and sister have these new GMCs, and whenever they're here, if they're running it, like they'll remote start their car to warm it up before they leave, and the Wi-Fi signal comes on. You know, they're all, it's always connected, and it provides a hotspot in the car. So each one of these new GMC trucks has this.
Yeah, no, my sons, they got the Dodge Ram diesel super duper. It's all that, man. It's so convenient.
Yeah.
Don't you feel better?
And it's the things that we always wanted. When I was a kid, I wanted the robot that
absolutely.
I could talk to, that, you know, and all these conveniences, but I, you know, never thought about the security aspects of it in the 80s.
So now
never envisioned that it would be, I thought it would be something that I owned, you know, not something that I'd be,
Well, eventually.
Be doing all the processing for me. Yeah, but sooner rather than later. I mean, there's no reason for it.
I think there's getting to be a reason for it.
Well, no, I mean, there's no reason for me to have to send all the audio up to Amazon to find out.
Because they're offering exactly what Facebook offered. They go, yeah, we're going to take away all your security, but we're going to give you a bunch of convenience. You know, you're going to need and want and have, and you can, and then it's done. Because I remember when Facebook was just starting to really get useful, certainly during the Levolution, you know, in the 08 election cycle, 07 to, you know, heck, to 13, you know, to 12 through the two Ron Paul campaigns, a lot of the Liberty community, man, they're Facebook and this and that, and the man saw, holy crap, we got to put the woe on this. But by that time, what did they do? They mapped out everybody's pirate network. They knew who about what. You know what I'm going? So now that's when we get into, you know, the Signal and WhatsApp and Telegram. And I need to understand, this is how I understand. Now Derek's going to, you know, help us get to where, you know, it's the truth and not what Ernie thinks. So I go, my impression was this. Whisper technology was the beginning of the base for Signal and WhatsApp. It was very convenient. It was supposed to be secure. It's encrypted. Communication with the text, blah, blah, blah. And then WhatsApp, that runs the same backbone software as Signal, got bought up by Facebook. So WhatsApp is now Facebook. I go, oh, well, hell, that's going to be secure. You know, I feel all wonderful about that. And then and Signal. Well, I remember it was Brian Sovereign. You know, Brian was on the show, and I'm talking about any pirate community. Oh, yeah, you need to get Signal. I loaded it on the phone. I tell this story all the time because I'm like, you know, I want people to know that when you get Signal, the first thing it does is, I totally agree. Do you agree? I totally agree. You totally agree, right? I agree. Click here three times. I agree that it's going to go through and map out my entire contact list.
It's going to go, it goes and looks and sees who's in your contact list that has Signal. Tells you
based on the phone number.
Signal. And then tells all those people that you're on Signal now.
Right. So then when I did that, all of a sudden it goes, hey, Ernie's on Signal. Before the segment was over, I'm getting all these, hey, Ernie, you're on, hey, what's up? You're going, oh, wow, that was private, okay? So I'm going, no, hell no. Don't ever think I'm, because they go, oh, but it's encrypted what you say, maybe. But I'm going, I think if I can see it on my screen, they can see
right.
it. I
so
mean,
the,
you know,
right. That's one thing. But the default when you install some of these apps, and I'm not sure if this is the case with Signal. I'm not going to say that it is. But often, you're using the Google keyboard on these apps for text entry. So you're typing stuff in, and it's getting spell checked. So it's sending all the text that you're typing up to the Google servers to spell check it and send it back down, I believe.
Really?
You know,
okay.
So, and I think that's a feature you can turn off, but most people don't know to turn that off. So they go get Signal. They think it's private, and it's not private.
Okay, turn off what?
The Google spell check.
Oh. So it can see what you're typing as you're typing the spell check.
So it's, I think it sends that up to Google servers to spell check. Suggestions, you know, and it's suggesting common words that you use. It's not like just spell checking. You start typing in two letters, and it lists all the words that could be relevant to you.
Oh, yeah. I see that. I noticed that. Oh, that's very convenient. Thank you. And I put freedoms. It already knows the next word's going to be Phoenix.
Yeah.
He goes, yeah, you're Phoenix, right? And I'm going, yeah, thank you. That's my nice of you to help me like that. Yeah. So these are security things that people, and what makes them less secure.
Yeah. So then you think.
Is because you think you're secure and you're effed, all right? Because you think you're secure. This is my point. Now, Telegram.
And I think he understands that. He did. But what Ian's point was that you're inviting this microphone into your home. And he.
You know, and I'm saying that you already have. And that you have all these microphones in your home. And you're going, oh, this one I invited, but this one I didn't invite. So I'm you know, more secure or something. I go, no, you're not. You're less secure because you think you're secure. Now, this is what Boston kind of realized, and I talk on going, man, I go, Boston, because you think you're secure, you're less secure. And when that phone number thing happened, he's like, yep, you're probably right. So he went down, you know, another path. Now, the Telegram, I had a young activist as part of this Project Arizona thing. They have young interns that they round the world, and they come to Phoenix and whatever. And his name's Yuri Tetrikov or some Russian guy. Yuri. He comes in. He used to be an editor of an opposition newspaper in northern Russia. It's northernmost, you know, some ski, whatever the heck town. And it's, you know, it's a large enough, the largest town in northern Russia there. And for 4 years, he ran an opposition newspaper. You know, he don't like him some Putin. And after 4 years, they just banned him. They just, you know, shut down the paper. You're not allowed. And he, Telegram. You need Telegram from a Russian dissident that invented Telegram, a Telegram. And I'm going, oh, so you, Mr. I've been banned by Putin. And I'm going, so you think you're secure on Telegram, right? Okay. Well, tell me about Telegram when we come back. Derek's going to tell me all about Telegram.
From the fourth letter of Captain Mark. Landlubbers are conditioned to believe that the originators of an idea deserve exclusive rights to it. But these innovators are nothing but privateers, granted a monopoly by the crown. Potential inventors are restricted from using their own property and forced to navigate a wilderness of prohibited ideas. These patterned monopolies are intellectual colonization. This alliance of means between the crown and the privateers is not an alignment of ends. Both collude to establish a permission culture, in which everyone second-guesses their own thoughts, never sure which ideas are permissible to develop. But their objectives are different. The crown aims to cripple dissenting opinion, while privateers will only be satiated when all new ideas already fall under their monopoly. This scheme does not protect our information, but seizes it and denies us access. The future belongs to individuals who think, speak, and act freely to create and share without reservation. Join the conversation at piratswithoutborders.com.
What's up next? Visit the Liberty Radio Network program guide to find out at shows.lrn.fm. That's shows.lrn.fm.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Okay, this is the next level of what we're talking about and what I want to get into is Telegram is espoused as being more private. We got the Russian dissidents. You know, it was a Russian dissident created, and the Russians are doing, we're going to be all private. And he was making a big deal. Putin can't stop Telegram as if he wanted to. I mean, you know, God knows. And so Telegram is not Whisper Tech, is it? Or it is?
No, Telegram's not. Yeah, I think I don't know who made it, but it's been related to me as some Russian anarchist.
Right.
Dissident.
Right. And then? You know, so I need to know what it uses, how it works. Does it use phone numbers?
Well, it does use phone. Yeah, it's just like Signal in that respect. Yeah, it maps out your pirate network. Yeah, it's the same thing.
Yuri was going on about this, and I go, does it use phone numbers? He goes, yeah. I go, well, then they know. They know all the people that are on your thing. It has to know because that's how it works.
Right. It's secured via mobile phone, so you have to install it on your mobile phone, and there's a QR code that you use to tie it to a desktop app. And the desktop apps for Telegram and Signal are very convenient because I don't like typing on a phone. So I use the I use the desktop version most of the time. But I see the message on my phone, then I can shoot it from my PC and
see, that's another thing. I got my Samsung Galaxy 5 that I'm eventually going to have to get a Galaxy $1,200 something, you know, whatever the hell eventually goes to. Hi, Donna. You know, she brought us some coffee. Thank you. The so I'm going, all right, we have Telegram that's all perfectly private and secret.
No, nobody said it's perfectly private. I don't want to say roll your own encryption for Telegram, but there was some non-standard encryption stuff in Telegram, and that's why Snowden didn't recommend Telegram. Snowden recommended Signal, and that's why everybody got all excited about Signal. I don't know exactly what he said. I don't think he said use Signal because nobody will ever be able to know what you're saying. He probably just said that the five-year-old, you know, stuff that he was doing at the NSA before he was gone and doesn't know anything that they've been doing since.
Yeah.
Or maybe he does. But was difficult for them to read. But I don't think he ever said it was impossible for them.
Okay, I had other guys on the show about Signal, and they were telling me that just from who it is and other things they know about you, and it's kind of like, you know, the autofill in Google thing, that from the bytes, you know, how many bytes and which order and all that, it's kind of like how they decrypt things because E is the most common letter, and then from that they can, you know, they got algorithms and, you know, an AI to sit there and look, and they go, yeah, they go, we pretty much know what you're saying on Signal too, and the encryption.
Yeah. And like you've said, if you know me and Ernie are talking, you know what we're talking about.
Right. And I, you see, my point was, I'm going, wait. So it's like they map out your pirate network, and they go, this freedom anarchist guy is talking this freedom anarchist guy probably about freedom anarchist stuff, you know? Yeah. And I'm going,
that's all they need to know.
Right. Yeah. So I'm just like, you know, well, they don't really know what you're saying. Who gives a crap? They know who I'm saying it to.
Right.
This in the word picture that I give is that you bring your pirate ship into the, you know, the harbor of wherever. And you got the ISR on Lighthouse sitting over there watching all the ships, and they can see their little flashy light thing between each other and so on. And then this ship takes a flashy light thing and sends the same flashy light thing over to this other ship. And then, you know, boom, they mapped out your pirate network. And they go, yeah, but they don't know what you said. Who gives a crap? That is not the freaking point.
All of a sudden there's a bunch of chatter, it gives them, you know, it might be a response to an event or something that's about to happen, or, you know.
You know how
right
that brings
the
up.
Pirates come in to raid, you know, to come in, they're going to start talking to each other.
Right. You know? Now here they come.
They're going to do something.
This is one thing, the Turing test, okay? You know, whether you're talking to a computer or a person or whatever. And the guy that invented the, they broke the Enigma code. There's a, you know, Donna's favorite, you know, actor, Cumberbatch here. You know, he was in that. You've seen that show, I'm sure, because he's in it. So what happened was how they broke the code, because it was so, they could not get this. But at the end of every message, they put two words at the end that helped them break it.
Hail Hitler.
Hail Hitler. Blah, 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 Hail Hitler.
Yeah.
You know, and they go, ooh, we know what that is. Boom. And that's how they broke it.
Yeah.
So if they know, you know, that, you know, some way you do it, and that just helps them.
And they know what words you use because they're using your Google spell checker thing to see what words are relevant to you. Yeah, they'll find Freedom and Phoenix all over the place. Just go to Freedom's Phoenix. Go to Freedom's Phoenix and look this up right now. Have you seen the video on Pirates Without Borders?
Right. I mean, so you're done. This is kind of my point. But you think you're secure, you're so freaking not. So the Telegram thing, how much deeper do I need to go other than they use your phone number? Okay.
Right.
Next.
Right. It is a problem. So it all goes back to the mobile phone. That's like the primary spy device, and everything else builds off of that.
You know, so then we have what just came out in the last couple of weeks. Nest, which is a a doorbell thing, it's a surveillance camera of Google, or whatever.
What you can do is, if you want to secure your house, you know, like to know if anybody else is in your house, and you can get these Nest cameras. So you get the Nest camera, it takes the video of what you're doing inside your house, and it sends it up to Nest servers so that you can look at it.
Thank you.
You can look at it from your house.
They're doing the hut thing into my, you know, I saw somebody, who is it? Eric Peters that does the car that he writes on Lou Rockwell a lot and everything. He goes, yeah, the hutting. He puts in there, yeah, they hutted me. And they hutted me. I'm going, I know exactly what he's talking about. They get the SWAT teams, you know, they come in, and hut, you know, and they go in and they lay waste. And I remember it was in the 70s, I think. I was a kid, maybe 80s. I think it was the 70s. You used to have Emergency 5-1, and it was like paramedics. They had a show about, they always got hospital shows or, yeah, you know, legal shows or, you know, what's the forensic shows that they do?
I have no idea. What are the forensic shows that they do, Donna? I don't watch any of this stuff.
Yeah, CSI kind of crap, okay? Oh, that's all cool and everything. Then there's a series that I really liked called Almost Human about 2048. I'm recommending to Derek and Donna. In 2048, they had a cop, and it's Cobain, the guy that plays in the new Star Trek's Bones, you know, that actor, and Chris Pine and Bones, that actor that plays the doctor, was the head detective, and he had an android partner. And the tech is, I thought this was a great show because it showed off all this stuff that they're actually doing. And they, and this is in 13, they used Bitcoin. And I'm going, and they're done. So after the first episode, and you're canceled. Not because it wasn't popular, not because it wasn't a good show. It's the same kind of Firefly thing. It's all about the alliance, and you're done. Okay? So they definitely controlling the mindset of people. I'm just, it's, gets me all, to think or not, you are so deluding yourself. So then the Nest thing, what do we find out? It has a microphone.
You could have cut out the microphone in the Nest, and then they wouldn't have been listening to you anymore, right? Like, maybe you just wanted the video, like, on your outside door, but you didn't want it to hear stuff that was inside. So you might open it up and take the microphone out, right? And then you think you're safe.
But they didn't even tell you that a lot of these things are in, you know, that it had a microphone.
It had another microphone.
What?
It was a second. It wasn't. We knew that it had a primary microphone, but it had another microphone on another board that they didn't tell anybody about. It had a whole nother board they didn't tell anybody about.
Wow.
So they're selling these Nests. So you make a product, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you say, well, my cost for producing this product is XXX, and it's based on all the hardware in it, right? So then you sell it to somebody, and you tell them what you're selling them, because that's what they're paying for, right? They don't know that they're paying for this extra board with this extra microphone for future features.
For you, because we love you.
Yeah.
Now you can turn it. Yeah, no, we were never were. No, we were going to turn that. Let you know about it when we had these other feet kind of, you know, pinky swear.
Yeah.
And then so now I'm sitting here looking at my computer laptop that I have. Is I would go on for years. I'm going, and you guys hear me talk about this a lot too. I'm going, all these geek guys like Derek and everything, they're doing all their Linux stuff, and you're not so much a Linux guy, but, you know, a lot of the guys are, and they're just Linux. Well, these same guys are crypto. And I always heard this is where the grandma just button comes from. They go, well, you just this and you just that, and show me this just thing you keep talking about. And I go, can't you just have a ready-made built Linux computer? Can't I just buy a laptop that's made for Linux?
Think Penguin. For them. Yeah.
I'm looking at the Think Penguin, but what did they do? They went and got a motherboard that didn't have all these trusted program module secret, secret microphone bullshit in it and everything. Now they're having trouble, you can't get a motherboard that doesn't have all that crap
in
it.
They made a law that said everything's got to have a TPM on it or whatever it is.
Is that a great new Google feature for me?
You're just paying for it.
Right. You're paying for it by they're selling your data is what they're doing. It's like all this stuff they get to you cheap. You're going to get a free phone from Jeff Bezos, the next half of the planet that gets online. You're going to get a free phone, and you are the product. So I'm going, this is, you know, BS. To think you are secure, you are not. That is the biggest problem, is when you think you're secure and you're not.
3 days in the hospital.
And now,
live
from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
Unafeared, but relatively concerned here on Declare Your Independence from Ernest Hancock here in Bangor, Maine. Now, you know, FreedomsPhoenix.com. I got to do it. On FreedomsPhoenix.com. Ooh, nice echo in here. That's good. All right. So, Nest, we're talking about, you know, they already have, you know, extra board. Now, this is one thing that it really came home, and I'm thinking, you know, I'm just going to build my own computers, you know, which a lot of times I do. I get a nice tower with easy access of putting in. I like these both sides of the computer tower. You can get, take off both sides, you can get access. It's easier to plug in the hard drives, and you can move hard drives, and you got slots for like 8, you know, hard drive slots, and you can do all kinds of crap, and you get a nice board for whatever. And they go, yeah, you get a new motherboard, and they're $150 to $200. Usually you get a nice one that does whiz bang, and then you got to buy the chip, and what kind of Uber chip you got, it comes with all kinds of garbage in that. That's a whole other thing. And then you got this freaking fan, the size of your, you know, the exhaust fan in your bathroom for your processor. Yes. But the when I did that and I put in that motherboard, it was Motorola. Motorola was bought by Google. Okay, do you remember that?
Oh, no, I didn't even know that.
Oh, yeah. This is what I remember. I'm going to look this up. Google buys Motorola. Okay, I put that in and see what comes up. Facts about Google's acquisition of Motorola. Okay, so there it is. You know, benefits of the deal, Google and Motorola mobility together will accelerate innovation and choice and yada, yada, yada. So Motorola and Google, they're the same thing as far as, you know, they're in, right? So then I get this Motorola board. I put it in when we did the video computer because we upgrade. When something goes out, I'll get whiz bang. I don't have to deal with it for another 5, 6 months, year, whatever. So I get it in and the first thing. You put in the Motorola board. You want to, you know, start building it. You turn it on. The BIOS loads up. And before you can do anything, there's a totally agree button. You totally agree.
Yeah, that's something new. Yeah.
It wasn't that new. That was a couple of years ago.
Yeah, new to me.
Motorola, Google. You buy a Motorola, and when you're, and you don't even think about it.
The license and agreement for the
Licensing agreement for the very base fundamental Motorola board. You are totally agreeing that Google has got your secret turned on micro, whatever the hell.
So Ben Schrader was telling me the other day. I think it was Ben. I'm pretty sure it was Ben. And I somehow this got by me too, but they discovered recently that Intel has had an entire Linux machine running inside the CPU itself since the 90s.
What?
So they got a little operating system running in there for diagnostic purposes or whatever. Yeah, and I think he's going to be on maybe tomorrow or Friday.
Yeah, so we can talk about that. Okay, check this out.
More about that.
The second story comes up on DuckDuckGo. It says, why did Google buy Motorola for $12.5 billion and sell it off, blah, blah, blah? After purchasing Motorola for $12.5 billion, it obtained the Motorola Home and Motorola Mobility divisions. Google immediately sold the Motorola Home division to Aris Group, Inc. for about $2.5 billion. Google sold the Motorola Mobility division to Lenovo for $3 billion. Motorola had $3 billion in cash at the time. Blah, 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 blah. They got Motorola boards. Okay, that's what happened. So I'm going, all right, I put it in. The first question, to use this brand new super whippy dippy board that you just got, that was probably $20 cheaper, but with more features than this other one you could have got at Fry's Electronics. You gotta totally agree, okay? And I never forgot. I will not forget this, you sons of bitches, okay? Yes, I totally agree for Google to, you know, be able to, whatever the crap I'm doing with this, which is a bunch of Ernie videos. That's all I do on that video computer is just a video streaming the video of the videos. And I'm going, yep, they got to change their surveillance guys every couple of weeks because they get converted. This is what I'm talking about. So I'm just, so to think that you're secure is the problem. Now, they'll talk about all the securities and how great and wonderful, and you add this app and blah, 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 but you totally agreed from the BIOS step. Yep. So don't even tell me that you think you're, you know, no, that ain't happening. So I'm going, all right, all right. So we understand from the beginning that we're jacked up. And if you think it because, you know, you got Telegram and it was some Russian dissident, which is another psyop in the whole thing right there, is that I'm going, yeah, does it use your phone number? All right, well, then you're done. I don't even need, because if I'm typing on my Samsung phone on Android, which is a Google, you know, operating system thing anyway, and then the geeks out there will go, oh, well, you download the super secret Android special blah, 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 blah. Like, how the hell would I know? I'm going to go in and look at, like you're saying, Ben's saying, he's going, look, man, you start looking at the architecture of the hardware, they got a whole thing running through whatever the hell they want.
It was Minix, I think. And what he told me was, I think it's Minix. Anyway, it's a very small Unix distribution. And the Minix guy found out about this. And he said, geez, I wish I would have known that I had the most widely deployed operating, I'd written the most widely deployed operating system in the world, because it was freeware. You know, so nobody told him, but he wrote this operating system, gave it away for free. Intel took it, put it in the CPU of the computer. It was a whole Linux operating system running in the CPU, just that single chip of the computer. And the guy that developed it didn't even know that his operating system was running in every Intel chip in the world for decades.
Wow. You know, and that's one thing. It was Chris Wade. Wade. Yeah, Chris, W-A-I-D, I think.
Yeah,
think, you know, that think does Penguin. Think Penguin. And what I was screaming about, I'm going, look, man, you guys got to come up with a Linux computer that has Linux on it. I take it out of the box, I open it up, and it just turns on, it works, it boots fast. I go, who the hell is going to do that? We're at Porkfest, and he had a table. This was, God, 3-4 years ago. He had a, you know, table like this, just a fold-out table with a plexiglass thing on top and the stuff underneath so people aren't, like, you know, playing with it or stealing it or whatever. And he goes, yeah, I got this little box here. You plug in the monitor, you plug in keyboard and mouse, and boom, it's like a Raspberry Pi thing.
There's a laptop, kind of a modular laptop, where you just plug in different...
Well, he also had, you could buy like a desktop that was just this little box, and then a laptop. And I go, you got a laptop? You know, you got it. Well, no, we're developing, doing, kind of go, man, I'm first in line. Give me, and then we put the ads up on Freedom's Phoenix. You'll see Think Penguin there. So I'm just going, you do this, give me a deal. And it wasn't free. He didn't, like, give it to me. But he gave me some options and other stuff, so we were pimping it. And I got this laptop. Love this,
this
laptop.
This is the laptop this is we're it. Using now.
Yeah, yeah, the one, no, this
the,
is
if
it.
If you watch the video, you see the Yes, I'm That Libertarian sticker on the back. That's
yeah.
The Think Penguin laptop.
That's the Think Penguin. Yeah, when you're watching the video and you see that, yeah. So I'm going, okay. The second...
It's got a little, it's got a little penguin on the Windows key of the keyboard.
Right. Yeah, okay, now this is what happened. I get it, and I'm ready to pimp. I'm that man. This is the great, because he sent me. I also got this, and I got a Libre, whatever the hell they called it, router.
Yep.
Now, the things about routers, a lot of the geek guys going to Goodwill and buying these old 811 routers of whatever the hell they are because they were pre-hacked, you know.
Well, or hackable. You could put
You could change
the whole operating
system. The firmware in it or something. Yeah. And now they made FCC is like, no, you can't do that anymore.
Right. That's the TPM thing for routers.
So then you go, well, they go, we need this old one. Well, we can hack it. We could have more control over it.
So don't throw out your old routers. They still work.
Right. No. So he's like, no, you got, so as soon as I put up the banners for Think Penguin, I mean, just when I got the computer, I'm like, yeah, Think Penguin would be more secure. Go over there. Well, then you go to his site and had a line through where it says it was secure routing and everything. Put a line through it. They're not secret anymore. And I'm like, what the hell did you do that for? And they go, you can't buy those anymore. I can't get them. I can't supply them. They have changed the law to where you can't do what we did on you. I go, well, I'm keeping that one. You know, this may be why you can't get into my router stuff. You know, we're having problems with
Yeah, maybe so.
From the sixth letter of Captain Mark. A pirate's life is characterized by voluntary interactions. Unfortunately, the crown presses everyone into involuntary servitude. Landlubbers believe slavery was abolished years ago, but the crown still claims to own us when it crimps us into service against our will. Given sufficient ambition, it would gladly draft thousands of hapless victims to kill or be killed. It's simply slavery by another name. Landlubbers are routinely commanded to serve the so-called justice system in jury duty.
But before you swell with civic pride, consider that how you feel is irrelevant to the Crown. You will appear as ordered or face punitive measures. The Crown insists that you participate in your own oppression. A jury summons provides pirates with a unique opportunity to obstruct injustices. A juror can vote not guilty, even if it's proven the law was violated. A juror can acquit for any reason at all, and not even a judge can reverse that verdict. Receiving a jury summons is basically winning the sedition lottery. But if you reveal that you know this during jury selection, you'll probably be dismissed. If the Crown foolishly crimps a pirate into jury duty, it behooves the pirate to conceal their intention to nullify unjust laws. If a master takes 100% of your labor, it's called slavery. But if they only take 50%, they call it taxation. A difference of degree, not of kind. Whether the Crown claims a fortune or a cent is irrelevant. Most of all, a slave owner desires contented slaves, meaning thoughtless ones that accept their bondage. These house slaves see no contradiction in being drafted in a war to end slavery or summoned to a jury to prosecute tax evasion. An ideal slave knows no higher call than the master's will. The Crown's highest ambition is that its slaves revere the authority that subjugates them. But the Crown does not own me. I will not surrender my time and treasure to the Crown's ambitions. Join the conversation at piratewithoutborders.com.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
And we're back here in Bangor, Maine, where we're getting stuff. I got here Saturday morning, and we just hit the ground running, man. We've been doing a lot of stuff, freeing up Derek's time to work on this stuff. And we're doing all this so you understand why we're focusing on, everybody get their shot ready. You know, take a shot of your scotch, your whiskey. Here we go. IPFS, Interplanetary File Sharing. You're going to hear me talking a lot about that. Is he coming by?
Yep.
Cool. So we got some more workers doing stuff. All right. Now, this is what the deal is. Even if you have all this done, I remember in 1989, something like that, Evan Mecham was governor of Arizona, very controversial, kind of, you know, Trump. You know, he was a Trump guy. You know, they exactly say conservative, Mormon, kind of, we're going, you're dead. And they go, there was a lot of surveillance being done on him. The federal government didn't like what he was doing. I mean, they finally got him impeached, and it was just a big thing. Then, of course, later you find out it was all BS. But he was going, they're listening to us. And they're going, oh, you conspiracy crazy guy. He goes, no, they're taking lasers. They're putting them on the window in my governor office. And they're listening to what we're doing. Oh, you conspiracy nut. Of course they were. Later you find out that's exactly what they were doing. And what they do, they have the technology now. There's a couple of things. One, if you go look it up, you can see they have, what do they call it? Tera, blah, blah, frame. So many tera frames per second, high-speed video cameras that can watch slow motion moving of a pulse of laser light. That's how fast these cameras are. Yeah. So they, I mean, you think I'm kidding. This is years ago that you can sit there and watch a beam, a pulse of laser going through a Coke bottle. And you sit there and watch it happen.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I'm going, holy crap, what the heck would they do with that? Then they can measure vibrations of anything. As he and I are sitting here talking, if they can go through a window, a laser, that can it can measure the vibrations of a bag of potato chips or a leaf on a potted plant.
Or the glass itself, I think.
Yeah, the glass is easy. You know, that's a whole other thing. But the point that they were making is that anything around you, even if there wasn't glass there, the vibrations on a leaf, if you're sitting out, you know, all these, we go meet in a park bench out in the whatever the hell. Yeah, man, they're just doing the vibration off of your eyeglasses as you're talking to the other guys talking to you, and they can make out your speech. This has been years
and they can do this. And this is what they were doing. I don't think they need to send guys out in the field anymore. Right? They've got the devices. We carry the devices around with us. So that's another point about the phones and the Tecker microphone and all that and the McAfee phone where he turns off the microphone. They can take audio off of the accelerometers.
What?
When you're talking, the phone's setting on the table.
Because the accelerometer vibrates.
The accelerometer's vibrating. They could potentially take audio off the accelerometers. I think there's a proof of concept for this. I'm not sure.
They can. than they are.
Yeah, they are.
So to think you're private, this is the one thing I'm going, God. So this is what I, you know, and then you talk about Tor and how it works, you know, and BitTorrents and all this other stuff. And I'm going, and then I find out later that Tor was a Navy intelligence project. It was so that, you know, secret agent 0015 or whatever, you know, can be out there and do and communicate with and kind of, you know, yeah, and they, you think the Russian hackers didn't have an incentive to, you know, deal with that too. So then the ability was, can they, and then they want to fudge you. They want to fear, uncertainty, and doubt you that you think you're being secret when you really are. They don't want you to think you are. And then when you really aren't, they don't want you to know you aren't. And, you know, it's just a game that they play. Well, Tor, they can start following the routers. And I remember we had a guy a couple of years ago on the show that I think it was called Dark Data Services. Let me pull that up. Now, Dark Data Services was a guy, he was a Liberty guy, that wanted to make sure that the Liberty community knew and understood that he could track all your Bitcoin transactions. He's going, look, man, I do this for law enforcement all the time, you know. And see what I'm putting in here. Dark Data Services. Dark Data Services. I think that's what it was. Let's see if it comes up. Blah, blah, blah. Dark Siri, Dark Narrative, yeah, Dark Web, Blink, Dark App. Yeah, whatever. You look it up on Ad Freemus Phoenix and it'll come up on the show. And he was saying that, look, I just want everybody to know. I mean, don't be a hater. You know, I'm doing my absolution. I'm making some money at this. I feel a little guilty. I need some absolution. I just want you guys to know.
Don't tell me my Tor isn't secure. It doesn't make me feel comfortable.
You know, yeah. He's going, I'm tracking Bitcoin transactions back to the device. FYI.
Oh, yeah.
Just want you all to know. Yeah. You know, I'm going, hey, thanks for doing us a solid. Yeah. So I'm going, all right.
So you put enough Bitcoin, you put enough Bitcoin nodes out there, you'll see the origin of it. You can get a pretty good idea of what the origin of the transaction was, which IP address broadcast this original transaction.
Down
if there's
to the
so
device.
Many, yeah. And that's how Tor has been compromised too. The compromisers just put up a bunch of Tor nodes and they can see a bulk of the traffic. And they can see, whoa, something happened over here, and then something happened over here, and they can tie that input, that going into the Tor network and then going out of the Tor network together.
So now it's got to where it's the panopticon, this idea that, you know, if they finally, when all else fails, they just want you to believe that everybody is being surveilled all the time to get your behavior to be appropriate with demands of, you know, China, you don't get to fly anymore. I mean, this is what happens. So what is our real society? What is real? What was our development? What's our diversity? It has been eliminated. Of course, people are going to do bad stuff and bad things, the bad, whatever. But this vibrant kind of, you know, that's why you have to have a base fundamental principle of something like the non-aggression principle. As long as you're not aggressing against individuals, they can be as stupid as they want and go be stupid. But to give sociopaths a shiny badge and authority is the most dangerous thing you can do. So whatever you talk of, yeah, but you can't we all agree, like Mark Victor and I get into it, well, can't we all agree that we all need, you know, police, or we need this, or we need that? I go,
all of us?
I go, yeah, you're not going to convince me of this.
When everybody says all or never or always.
Which was his point. He was like, when everybody says all cops are bad, that's how I go, but we all need cops. I mean, you know, I'm going, oh, you're killing me, man. So this is where we're going with this. So privacy, there's two things. When I was in Acapulco, that was the point that I was making. I get a chance to talk, and I'm going, all right, the man, they, them, those, whatever, won't leave us alone. They want to make where privacy is non-existent. And you know it. You don't have privacy. No. And gosh darn it, this is what we want you to be like and your behavior to be. You have no privacy.
I remember Outer Limits way back in the early 80s. It was probably the reboot of Outer Limits. And they had, this guy was walking down the street, and there's all these little globes following them around, seeing what they're doing.
Right.
You remember that episode?
They live.
I was like, oh, my God, that sounds so horrible. Yeah.
Well, they don't even have to fly. You're carrying it around with you.
All of these.
Take the propellers off, put a screen on it, put it in your pocket. So, yeah. So this, and then they go, that next thing is immutability. They want to be able to determine what can and cannot be accessible to everybody or anybody. Privacy, they don't want you to be secret, and it's there forever. They want to control what's there forever. And that's deleted, and that's gone, and that's been taken off, and that's got a copyright, you know, flag of you're not allowed, and Facebook, and taken down Zero Hedge. You know, I'm just going, wow, we'll talk about that.
Roads? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
No, they're going to make roads 3D, and the whole world's a road, space is a road. The Alliance is going to come help protect my, you know, property rights on my asteroid that I blah, 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 blah.
Forget roads, they're going to give you tunnels.
Right. Yeah, we just saw that the Boring Company, Elon Musk tunnel thing, he got a deal to do it in Las Vegas, which is perfect for this. You get off the plane, you go to the casinos, you go casino, little subway. That'd be perfect. I don't know.
The reason I like having a Jeep or any type of SUV is so that I'm on the highway, something happens in front of me, I can go right across the median and start going the other way. I can go across
whoop,
the sidewalk.
Whoop, that's the sound of the police.
Get out of here.
Whoop, whoop. There they come.
If I'm in a tunnel, it don't matter.
Yeah.
Build a wall right around me, you know.
You know, that was a movie with Sylvester Stallone about getting stuck underwater in the tunnel, and a blowout or something like that.
Yeah.
And I'm going, yeah, I think I'd like rather come spiraling in a plane. Pinned in this tunnel thing. I'm not sure about that. We'll see how it goes. Okay, lots of new disaster movies. Now, the sinking between my scream was, years ago, I go, how come I don't have a Linux, open source, blah, 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 device and everything for a smartphone, a tablet, and a laptop? So I was talking to Chris Wade about the tablet. I go, well, give me a tablet. He goes, well, tablets have different offering software. It's kind of, punted. You know, and I don't know what the deal was. Ubuntu years ago were saying, they were promising for like a year that here comes these, you're going to buy all three of these devices and they're going to sync up with each other and they're going to be private. And I'm going, woohoo, I'm waiting on that. Yeah, sign me up with all the Samsung, Motorola, whatever the crap. I totally agree, don't care, because the second that I get these, I'm gone. When I had my restaurant in the 90s, the phone service was so bad. This is still when you had more monopolistic kind of, and it opened up to whatever. But it was so bad, but you couldn't get any other kind of communication system. You had a phone number. People want to order pizza. You got, man, I'm subservient to these guys. And a lot of people were screwed more than me because I knew where they were working on. It was right out in front of the building, you know, in the street there, on a main street downtown Phoenix, that I go out to the guys. There'd be like six guys standing around watching one guy do something. And I go in with pizzas, and I go, hey, here's some pizza, man. When you get to that phone number, make sure that's first. Not a problem. Got right on it. By the time I walked in, it's on. You know, I'm going, yeah, that's what I thought. Pizza, very good currency. You want to know barter system? It's called pizza, okay? So I get all kinds of stuff done that way. But you're subservient to these guys, and it was so bad. I don't have a problem with the line technician, but it was so bad that I go, when I have an option, when I get an option to go to some other service, I am. Well, we'll be better. I go, I don't care. It's a principle. It screw you. So Cox Cable had all kinds of problems with them. I got another mesh network just out of, I don't care if it's worse, just not you. You need to have free market to make these kind of determinations of dissatisfaction with stuff. What else is there you're going to do? So that's my thing. Now, now we're getting into the privacy thing. What we've done, and privacy is not so much, I want my Jarvis, okay? Now what, Derek has gotten, I got two Arduino kits of things for the grandkids, really for me to learn, you know, I teach them, and you can teach a six-year-old, hopefully he's not blazing by you too fast.
He'll have time to figure it out by the time he's late 20s maybe, you know, I mean, it's a real
progression.
Yeah,
he can teach me.
Yeah.
You know, and then I got a Raspberry Pi for them, and I have a nice kit for it, and we kind of go through, and we built it, and plugged in the monitor, and they're Minecrafting, and they think it's as cool as hell, you know, and then their dad, you know, my son, you know, went and got another Arduino, and I was so jealous, I went and got one, you know, hey, man, you're not allowed to have that cool stuff, because I know what you were doing, because you were showing me these controllers that actuate, it's got a little pin, a little wire comes out and goes to something, it's like your thermostat. I could take a Raspberry Pi and these controllers, and I could automatically feed my chickens, have actuators do, you know, for the fish, we do the aquaponics, it measures the salinity, it measures the, you know, the humidity, the barometer, blah, 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 whatever the hell, and the algorithm, when this does that, do that. And you sit there and you code and program, and once you figure out little crap like that, and you're doing little robots, which you were showing me you're doing, you're a freaking teenager or something, you know, and I'm going, this is the dream and what we expected as kids that watched Star Trek in the 60s. You grow up and you find out, oh, no, they don't really have that. You know what? If I can think it, that means it can be done. Yeah, and it's getting done exponentially. We are in the exponential hockey stick right now of what we dreamed about in the 60s. 2001 Space Odyssey, you know, Moon Base Alpha, Space 1999, blah, 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 blah. All that stuff is now coming to fruition that we can now build for $50 on your desk. So what Derek did is we're sitting here right now looking at a big screen monitor up there that has one, two, three or four frames of here in your workshop, in the parking lot, all that kind of stuff. And then there's a couple you got in your home.
Yeah, and there's three at the house. Yeah, so I can see who's in my driveway at home.
So you can see what's that. And your wife looks and sees the cars that are here. And if she sees a bunch of cars at night, she knows you're not going to be leaving anytime soon. Yep. You know, so it's kind of, so you can sit there and say, well, is that on a Nest thing? Our friend, you know, Tonopah Bob, you know, Bob's out there and he put in a bunch of Nest. He can monitor his house and a house he has in Massachusetts. He can monitor them from his phone. He's sitting there looking, it's good. And then we find out,
it goes up to their server.
It goes up to their server.
To their server to get the video. And that's what I didn't want. So I ended up kind of rolling my own solution.
So this is what happens. We were working in one of the rooms that we're, you know, building walls and heating and doing whatever, a work area over there. And he has this monitor. It's a 19-inch monitor, a little monitor. Yep. He's got a monitor there, and he just unplugs it from the wall, the electrical.
So it's got four. That one's got four video cameras on it. So you're looking at the display.
No, I just want to make sure. Yeah. I want people to understand what happens. He unplugs it. It goes black. No Ethernet, no nothing. He goes to another place where we weren't working. He plugs it in. Boom, and it boops up, and boom, there's the cameras and everything again. And I'm like, all right, explain this to me. Well, I got a Raspberry Pi here, and explain what happens.
Yeah, it's powered off. It's powered. The monitor has a USB output, so it's enough to power the Raspberry Pi. So, yeah, it just boots up. It connects to the Wi-Fi.
Oh, so the Raspberry Pi is powered through the USB.
Yeah, it's powered by the monitor. The USB has a monitor. A lot of TVs have USB output. USB power on them too, so yeah, then it just connects to the Wi-Fi and then it's just a script really that's running that loads up that thing. It's something.
So that script you got at Walmart somewhere or something?
No, I mean, I searched online about how people were putting video on Raspberry Pi and found an app that could display the video, and then you just run multiple instances of that in. Different.
Yeah, it's a grandma adjust button.
It's not a grandma adjust button for sure. But
so this is something that we can work on, and what we're going to do for our family, kind of, you know. So this may be a package deal of, you know, $1 billion on eBay, whatever.
Yeah. So then it's getting the video from home. So what I don't want to do is expose my cameras to the internet, right? I don't want this. This was where all these botnets came from, right? Everybody was getting these camera systems, just plugging them in, and was all default password. People are hacking into these video video cameras and video systems, and they're just installing their own software on them.
Yeah, you know, they're watching.
They have the default password. I didn't want it open to the internet, but I want to be able to see what's going on at home. So I'm using VPNs between here and there.
Okay, explain VPNs to people.
It's just an encrypted tunnel.
So virtual privacy network, which means what?
Network. It's just an encrypted tunnel where it's like a dial-up connection over the internet.
Mm-hmm.
So my router calls the other router, or vice versa, depending on
encrypted.
Yeah, and it creates this encrypted tunnel, so you can pass private IP traffic.
So it's like having an Ethernet network, you know, from 10 miles away at your house.
Right. Yeah. So when I'm here, I've got that tunnel, and I can access stuff at home. I can access when I'm home. I can access the computers here, and none of it goes over the internet. I don't have to open up the ports. I mean, obviously the VPN is. The VPN call-in port is open, but that's all you have to secure. And then all the computers on either side are accessible to the other side.
Securely?
Well, I mean, nothing's secure.
But. Okay, but I mean, you know, you're Derek Pinky Square secure?
It's pretty good.
Okay, so we have a Raspberry Pi, that's all it is, plugged into a monitor, and all the scripting is such that it accesses your cameras at your work, or your build, what do you call this, workshop or whatever, and your home, and on the monitors here, and most of his family here, they all see, you can see Donna, and there they, hey, you know, she's dead, and your kid's playing video game on the couch or whatever, and only you can see that, or your family here. Yeah. And they can see what's going on here, you're good.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
And the final segment on Declare Your Independence today, and it's, what is it, it's Wednesday. It's Wednesday, and I got a date here. It's the 13th, okay? The Beware the Ides of March is going to be Friday. I don't know what we're going to do then. We're going to have some fun. So, last segment, I know Derek is like, oh, 3 hours. Oh, my God, we got to do 3 hours. Goes by quick, don't it?
It does, yeah.
Now, boom, get a lot of stuff in, too. You know, so we wanted to finish up on Raspberry Pi. What's the difference between Arduino and Raspberry Pi?
Arduino is a really small processor.
So it's just like
not a lot of internal memory. A Raspberry
is kind of overkill for a lot of stuff.
Arduino, there's a lot of supporting chips and stuff on the Arduino, but it's really just the single processor you're working with. And the Raspberry Pi is a full computer. It's got a CPU and separate memory and a multimedia processing thing, so it can decode video and.
So why would you do Arduino's $3 then? I mean, how much?
No,
are they?
Arduinos are more.
Screw them, man.
Yeah, I don't know what they're selling. I mean, you can get.
Is it like the Motorola board? They want you to get a Raspberry Pi. It's cheaper because it's got more stuff.
You can just buy the. A lot of times, I'm doing an Arduino project. The Arduino is really just the software packages that you put on this particular chip that Atmel makes these chips that go on Arduinos, but you can just get the chip and program the chip directly. You don't need the Arduino development board with the USB and all that stuff. So I'll often just get the chip, and those are like $3 to $5.
Okay, so now wait. You say program the chip. It's a hardware with a transistor, resistor, whatever kind of
path. Just a chip, just a 16.
Okay, so what are you programming? Chip. Is there like a SD card that's commanding it or something?
No, you can get a programmer for the chip. Which are cheap too, and then plug it into USB. You plug it into USB. You stick the chip on the board.
Wait, folks! I want you to wait. Here it comes. I see if you recognize it. I go.
You click the grandma just button. On
that's what I'm saying. It's going to be a just. It always comes with a just.
Even Arduino, the board, and using it because I don't use their software either to code or to code or to program usually, but I mean, their application, their Arduino application. But even that is like you got to install Java to run their thing. And
so a Raspberry is more convenient, which is where they get you, is more convenient. Because a Raspberry came from, I think it's Oxford. Well, then you know you're screwed already. And Oxford out of UK, they wanted to develop more programmers and get kids involved and this, that. So what they did is they said, can't we come up with a basic computer for really cheap that we can mass produce and people can. Then that was the Raspberry Pi.
Right.
And that, man, that's how you sneak into stuff,
So the only reason that Raspberry Pi is really is not just a small computer and is more of a hobbyist computer, it's got a bunch of what they call general purpose input output pins on it. So you can take the pins and you can hook an LED up to it and turn an LED light on and off from the console. So you can just type a command and turn an LED on.
And then you put commands of when you want it on and what's going to make it go on.
Yeah, then you write a whole program, but it allows you to interact. The Arduino is for interacting with other things, right? So it's got a bunch of pins on it, and you can measure analog inputs. You can like hook a thermistor up to it, which is to measure temperature, or a photocell, which measures the amount of light, or you can hook LEDs up.
Which, when you buy these Arduino kits, comes with a light detector and a this detector and a that thing and a that. It's all, and then you got breadboards that you do and kind of, so I'm learning about all this stuff, with my grandson.
But the Arduino, you put the program on it, just runs the program you wrote. But a Raspberry Pi is a whole Linux operating system. So you plug a monitor or a keyboard into it and you type your program into it.
Yeah, it's like a little board that's about, 3-4 inches square, and it has an HDMI slot, so you just plug it into my big screen. Yeah. It has at least two USBs on it. It has a Wi-Fi, little chips you can put in. You got Wi-Fi, it's a computer.
Yeah.
So when we did this, and my two of my grandkids, at the time they were like 6 and 7, and we sat down, all right, today's the day. And within a couple of hours, they were playing Minecraft, with the little controller, and it was a full freaking computer.
Yeah.
And I go, Oh, my God. And then with all these pens that you can take sensors coming in and commands going out, well, all that robotic, you wanted the automation of whatever you can do, which he did with the security system. And the security, well, it's just a camera system. It's a monitoring system. So way it works is it Wi-Fi's to his router that VPNs, virtual privacy network, to his home that's encrypted, so you can have connected your home, your workspace, your whatever the hell you want to do, and it's not going to a cloud of the man. It's your data. Now when you start doing IPFS, take another drink, okay, then you have access through this little computer of all your memory and your data and your photos for your family, because that's what a lot of people use Facebook for, is to communicate with family and friends. And I go, you can have files that are for family, files are for everybody, files for a certain select group of your whatever the hell you can do. And for the first time in my memory that I know of, certainly it's getting more grandma just buttony, we can set up these hacker spaces in here, and a lot of, and Ben will be here, we'll talk about this stuff, and I bet you could sell it. I bet this is kind of, man, woohoo, hook me up to where I can have access to my private encrypted family data that doesn't have to freaking go on the goddamn Facebook, Google, Amazon bullshit. I am like, hell no. I want to be able to bypass that and still get the same Jarvis convenience and the artificial of I, you get voice recognition stuff. I got to get a tablet for doing a teleprompter so I can get 3 hours of Ernie down in the 5 minutes, pinky swear, and write it, you know, and do like, you know, skip to the end with Ernest Hancock news thing that we'll be doing eventually. And I got the teleprompter and everything, but I couldn't use the tablets. They were too old, whatever. So I got to get a new one, and I'll put that up, and I'll be able to play with that, and, you know, and all that. But I know I got to go through the man, but it has voice recognition on this tablet. So as I'm reading it, it recognizes my voice, and no matter how fast or slow I go, it'll keep it, the prompter up there, and I'm good. So I'm going, all this stuff is available through a Raspberry Pi. And you have your own cloud now, using IPFS.
Yeah. Now, Raspberry Pi is kind of a class of computers, right? There's other, there's cheaper solutions than Raspberry Pi, depending on what you want to do. The advantage the Raspberry Pi has for $35.
Because it can do everything.
It's got a Wi-Fi in it, and it's got a really good video. It's got an HDMI output, so you can plug it into your TV for HDMI video. But there's a $5 all-in-one computer that we've used. We used it for the Bitcoin Wi-Fi that we did at Porkfest. There was just a $5 computer because we didn't need the HDMI. We didn't need the multimedia processing stuff.
You know, this is the kind of thing that Derek did. He goes up to Jackalope in Arizona in the middle of the freaking nothing. He put up some, you know, booster up on top of the mountain kind of thing, and he was broadcasting Wi-Fi down into the campground. People have Wi-Fi, you know, so they can do Bitcoin
everybody
transactions.
Everybody that wanted to use the phone had to go climb the mountain to get a signal. So it was constantly people just going up the mountain. Well, we took a Wi-Fi hotspot with a solar panel to keep it going, put it up on a tree stump on top of the hill, and then we had a Ubiquiti Wi-Fi access point thing. Shot up at it to bring the signal down. So we had an Ethernet we could plug into down there coming off that hotspot, and then we were able to broadcast from down there a Wi-Fi access point so everybody down in the valley can get Wi-Fi.
In the middle of nothing. Then, a year before that, you had the megalith or monolith or whatever the heck it was you had. What did you call that thing?
It was the money. It wasn't the monolith. Was the original one that you guys did. This was the metalith.
The metalith, all the things for all the money. What it was a CNN did a thing on this.
Yep.
It is a machine that dispensed ammunition and silver and tampons and, you know, pregnancy tests.
Robert sponsored that, and he had a bunch of gold in there. There was some bullets in there. There was a marijuana test kit in there.
But it had to have access to the internet for the transactions. You paid in Bitcoin, get money and change, put in money, get Bitcoin change.
It was a two-way conversion between Bitcoin and cash.
Derek was way ahead of the system on that one. You had that machine in your living room for months.
Yeah, so it's filling up the garage.
So then You go up there, and you had to have communication. Well, then the following year or two later at Pork Fest, because the Wi-Fi sucks butt there. Yeah. It's so bad for so long, and it's because they got a monopoly on it, and they're just kind of, what are you going to do? Well, he went in, had a microwave transmission from some tower you bought, you know, bandwidth coming in, and for $25 an account, you sold it to the vendors to be able to do transactions.
Yeah.
For credit cards, Bitcoin, whatever the hell.
Disconnected and sign up with Bitcoin, and you were all, we didn't even know who our customers were.
And then the guy didn't like it. He was like, he's getting Crosby to come out and say, well, you can't do it. Go, well, make his work, and then we'll talk about it, you know? Yeah. So what it was is that Derek, taking these little boards and everything, what did he do? He provided Wi-Fi for Pork Fest, for Jackalope, for his own security systems, private, off the grid, using $35, build our own pirate freaking networks without us having secret microphones and stuff and everything. I mean, you know, that's why we're here and what we're working on. A pirate's life for me.
Yeah.
Since time began, tyrants have taken aim at personal liberties. Now there's a movie that aims back.
The government has